There's good penalties and bad penalties and unlucky ones. You know, sometimes you're a bit unlucky. You're in a fight at a breakdown and a referee deems you. But there's a couple of stupid ones that are down to just bad decisions from the players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Fiona, Ireland, Fiji. It's funny. Owen was talking on the show last night. He made a good point that sometimes we get these injections of new blood and stuff into the kind of the maybe the lesser game of the November internationals, and we all get a little bit more excited sometimes for these games than we do for the big ones because we're looking forward to seeing the new names in action.
Yeah, that's spot on, Mick. That's what I, you know, there was a bit of talk at the start of the week that maybe Andy Farrell was going to stick to something similar from the previous couple of weeks. And, you know, I was a bit disappointed hearing that and seeing the team being made. I'm delighted. Izuchukwu, there's some real players there. Prendergast even on the bench that deserve a shot. And even to have, I suppose, Prendergast starting, I would have loved to have seen Frawley getting the start personally and okay, bringing Prendergast on. But look, I'm excited at what's coming.
And why is that?
Just it's the coach in me, you know. It's one bad performance, if you can even say performance. It was, you know, maybe 20 minutes of rugby, things went wrong. I've watched Frawley for a long time, so unlike him, so unlike him. The errors, the knock-ons, in a high intense game, I understand that he probably hasn't played in at that a lot, but he's certainly a cool character. And I think it was just everything went against him. And the coach and me would just love to see him given that shot at starting against Fiji. And I suppose proving those doubters wrong, because it's almost like immediately people went, okay, Frawley's out of the running. It's now a Prendergast v Crowley race, which is ridiculous, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. Do you get the impression that he has fallen behind Prendergast then, or is this, because I always got the impression Prendergast was slated to start this week. So if Frawley comes on and does his 25 minutes as you expect, regardless of the performances this week, it's Crowley plus who next week against Australia? Not to jump ahead.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it's between the two guys. I know that's very down the middle, but I think there would have been a plan beforehand. So I think Farrell in particular is an astute coach. He understands, you know, that you can't just say someone is a bad player. He's also in that training system with them every day. So Frawley could have been absolutely training out of his skin. We know what Prendergast can offer. We know how composed he is, how, I suppose, self-confident he is, which is really good for a 10. Everyone wants a 10 like that. He wants to be in that starting jersey. So I think going off last week and with the start this week, that if Prendergast puts in a really, really good 60 minutes, absolutely amazing performance, I think it would be very, very hard not to have him in the bench for that last game against Australia.
Okay. Some of the other things that we're looking at this week, it's funny, the Fiji game can be a tough enough one, because I remember even 3 years ago was probably the last time that Farrell made these kind of changes for a game, and it was a struggle from the get-go. And when that happens, it can be very hard to get out of that. And it puts a lot of pressure, I think, on not necessarily Ichishoku and McCarthy and these boys, but it puts a lot of pressure on the likes of Stockdale and some of the other kind of like on the fringe players to kind of perform, because suddenly, you know, things don't go well the first 20 minutes. It's very much, God, I'm not taking my chance here. I'm not taking my chance. This could be my last chance. So there is an intrigue about that tomorrow as well, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting to hear the way Andy Farrell talks about someone like Stockdale, you know, how he's clawed his way back into favour. And it's through sheer, I suppose, just playing with Ulster and really playing well. You know, it's almost, I've said it for the last few months on Off the Ball, that he looks like a weight has been lifted off his shoulders when he's playing lately. It looks like he's enjoying his rugby. I would imagine that's a lot got to do with Richie Murphy and the system and the training he does up there. It takes the pressure off the players. So it is interesting that when, and I know it from myself and I know it from other players, that because I would have played behind Fiona Coughlin all the time with Ireland, and you might only get on for 15, 20 minutes and you're thinking, I have to come up with a turnover. I have to do something special. Now, she was the captain, so I knew I'd never knock her off the perch, but there certainly is a pressure involved. And I can only imagine with a crowded Aviva and against, let's not forget, against the Fijian line speed and those hard hits, it's going to be a lot of pressure, but these guys are there for a reason, and I think they're really going to cherish it, and especially the young guns. I think it's brilliant for them coming in that kind of game. It's going to be a loose game, and as well, Mick, I think a lot of people want to see phases. If you look at sustained phases, if you look at Ireland when we were on the top of our game, when we were beating South Africa, we were able to retain the ball. In talking to people and in watching the last couple of games in particular, it's not our game. We're not holding on to that ball. We're not seeing certainly that, and love to see Ireland hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think one of the things actually that comes from Fiji having a bit of a resurgence over the last 2 years is actually that I think people are going to take this game, and that probably includes the team and the management as well, a little bit more seriously. And seriously is probably the wrong word, because it's not as if they would ever dismiss it or anything. But it's like, I like that the team isn't completely foreign to us. There's new names and there's new everything, but like, these guys are going to play for Ireland. There's 6 or 7 or 8 of like real regulars that are in there, and there is that chance to kind of put a few patterns down and actually play in the way that we maybe haven't over a kind of a, fair to say, scattergun first two games in November.
Yeah, look, and with Fiji in particular, I think, you know, they've got such X factor in that back line. I'm a huge fan of Lemani Naiklevu in the centre. They've got really, really good players. But one thing about them, and you can see from the opposition, is they definitely like to play a free-flowing style of rugby, and it's counter-attack ball. They can absolutely be lethal. We know their offloading game, and that's something that's going to get the crowd alight as well, because yes, we are going for Ireland, but it's also going to bring the game alive. And I think these guys coming in, the likes of Bundy, you have Henshaw, the two of them together in the centre, it's going to make for an exciting game. But certainly Andy Farrell through the week will certainly be looking at how Ireland are going to hold on to that ball and be a bit more creative, I suppose, around set piece, because we know certainly Fiji are going to bring a lot of creativity. And you have to remember as well, they're going to be gunning for Ireland. I think we're the only Six Nations team that they haven't beaten, so that's something they'll be like trying to squash as well.
Yeah. And what did you make of Fiji? Because like, I saw their game against Wales, and like, Wales are Wales at the moment, and unfortunately, yeah, and there's a whole story there, but I still thought they were pretty impressive. But I didn't see their game against Scotland, and the scoreline just doesn't suggest that they were, you know, at their best, I suppose. So it is hard to know kind of what we're expecting from Fiji, because we almost don't know how bad Wales are at the moment.
Yeah, and that's it. It's hard to see. What I will say I have noticed with Fiji in watching them is that their game management in particular has come up hugely. They're exiting how they approach the game. It's a lot better than what we would have seen in the past. So those pressure moments, sometimes they end up running it or doing something. Yes, the crowd loves it, but I'm sure the coaching box at times probably isn't.
Yeah.
But certainly in that Wales game, they were absolutely electric. How they played the ball against Scotland, it probably didn't work out, but they've had a couple of games under their belt now, so I think they'll be coming to Ireland, especially with a pep in their step. And it's just that pack in particular is where I think Ireland will probably try and go after, but their scrum at times has been solid enough.
Yeah, on the pack then, like, I mean, Ireland are you know, far from full of rookies. Like, we'll obviously have Porter, and we'll have Tyke Byrne, and we'll have Josh van der Fleer and Doris and so on. So, but there is a couple of new names in there. You mentioned Keane Prendergast, who'll obviously come off the bench again. We haven't seen him for Ireland in quite a while. But the two debutants, I just want to talk about both of them briefly. Cormac Asuchoku, like, he's someone that I think there's a bit of excitement about. And we were talking on the show last night saying that maybe there is a feeling there that Ireland could do with a bit of a refresh at number six, and maybe Tyke Byrne, you know, is better served in the second row, and maybe there's 3 doesn't go into 2 there, but that doesn't mean you bring someone into the back row either. And maybe there is room for someone to a breakout player in the back row at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the hardest position, Mick, to try and get on a national team. And for someone like him to have the performances he's had at under 20 level, we've seen it. Then we saw Murphy taking him under his wing and not putting him in the second row, giving him that chance at back row. And he's been absolutely electric. And it's that physicalness about him. You know, he's a real athlete. And I suppose with the way Ireland play that 1-3-3-1 system as well, if he's out there on the wing, he's someone that's definitely, we've seen Peter O'Mahony do it at times, but I think someone like Izuchuku is going to have real gas as well, and we'll see him on the ball a lot, attacking out wide, I think.
Yeah, and is that the kind of player we're looking at there? Is like he'll sort of, not that he'll leave the breakdown to Doris and Van der Fleer, but he's going to be a ball carrier. Is he a ball carrier in six?
Absolutely. I think so. I think the type of player he is, yes, he does resource the ruck. Like, it's not, it's whatever system you're in, or if it goes wide in general, he'll be in that. But he's certainly someone that I think you'd like to see on the ball, making those big carries, but more so making those carries in space, Mick. It's you know, we've seen Van der Fleer, we've seen, you know, we can't get it over the gain line. We've struggled it sometimes in tight. And we saw it especially in that New Zealand game. If you look back at the stats, we were pretty poor in that tight area getting over the gain line. But someone like him out wide, giving him that little bit, that couple of seconds extra space, his footwork and his dynamism will certainly be something Ireland will be looking to get way over the gain line.
Yeah. Rugby and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. Fiona, I know we have to let you go here, but just before we do, Gus McCarthy, I'm just fascinated as to what you think of this guy, because it's an incredible journey, really, you know, from, you know, last year, captain of the of a under-20s Grand Slam win team, to making his debut in April for Leinster, making his first start in September. He's had like 5 appearances for Leinster and he's on the Ireland team already. What have we seen from him so far? As a senior player, obviously his great under-20s pedigree, and that counts for something. It absolutely does, especially as a captain and a leader. But what have we seen from him so far that says that he's ready for this step?
Oh, a lot, I think. You know what? It is.
21, and
I was only
like.
I was only thinking about it yesterday as well. Like, how often were people on, and we were looking at, maybe we didn't think that the players, you know, we obviously knew Sheehan was out. We didn't think Keller was going to make it. Herring was, and all we were talking about was Dave Heffernan, you know, and for him to bypass him and get that start in the Fiji game is, it just shows the type of player he must be up in camp. I mean, sometimes I think that even from the under-20s in the women's game, when it's the scrummaging area, sometimes when they make that step up, it's probably they're a little bit lighter and they can struggle in that area. But Gus McCarthy has been absolutely brilliant for Leinster in those few games. He's ball-carrying. He's almost like Sheehan in his ball-carrying ability, his work rate. And then, you know, we've talked a lot in the last couple of games, probably a bit better last week, but just about that line-out. So at camp, he's obviously hitting the money, he's hitting the mark, and if he can put in a big performance and get, you know, a high 90% line out, people say you can't always blame the hooker, but if the percentages are high and he's on the pitch and he's around the place as well, he's certainly putting his hand up to even get a bench spot in that final game against Australia.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see, because I do think we were
put in a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's brilliant to see, because I think we are kind of like eager for new blood and new stars to come through, and it'll be good to see Jamie Osborne getting a start and obviously Sam Prendergast. But if there's somebody else like this that's popping through, it's going to be so much fun. But like, how much as a coach would you value, say if it's a 50-50 call, Heffernan or whoever, and you see that this guy led his teams underage, completely different level, you can't judge it, there's players who won't make it, etc., but that he was the captain of a Grand Slam winning team and he was able to lead the pack through and so like that, would that be a good tiebreaker for you as a coach?
Probably not, because I think Dave Heffernan has done wonders with Connacht, you know, and he's taken over the captaincy at times as well. So
sure,
he's someone that has that leadership ability. But what I will say is set piece is key. So I'm not up at that camp, but as a hooker with pressure on, and especially in that environment, in the couple of games he's played, he's certainly been on the money with his throwing, and his scrummaging has been excellent. So I would imagine as a coach, if it's between, you know, you have dynamic players in that front row, in that hooker position, and sometimes I've seen it, they mightn't be able to nail the throw, but if our might struggle, might be a little bit high in that scrummaging area, and bring the two props up with them. So certainly if I'm looking at it, and it comes down to myself personally, if it comes down to either or, it's someone that is nailing the set piece, nailing the detail around that.
Okay, Fiona, thanks a million for your time. Great stuff. Enjoy
Cheers.
The game.
Thanks a million, Mick.
There's good penalties and bad penalties and unlucky ones. You know, sometimes you're a bit unlucky, you're in a fight at a breakdown and a referee deems you, but there's a couple of stupid ones that are down to just bad decisions from the players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.